Hello and welcome to the Royals Rundown Podcast, the Kansas City Royals podcast in association with Inside the Royals. I am Jake Milham, and joining me tonight, I have Joe Doyle of Prospects Live. He is the director of their MLB draft operations over there on the site. Joe, how are you doing tonight, man?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me on the show. I'm excited to talk a little Royals baseball and jump into the draft.
Heck yeah. Look, it is, I ain't gonna lie, after the season ended, especially the World Series after it ended, I was like, man, we got a long time until the season rolls around. Thinking about the fact that spring training is less than 4 months away, and then, you know, the draft is going to be ramping up shortly after that. It's kind of a crazy thing when you think about it in the grand scheme of things, you know?
Yeah, I mean, every year, it's about this time, you know, November to early to mid-February. It's just kind of a, you know, you do your research, you do your writing, you kind of get prepared, and then, you know, snap your fingers, it's July. This is a, if you want to call it a down period, it's a little bit of a down period, but as you know, I mean, baseball never really sleeps. There's always something to talk about and always something to write about.
That is true. And today we are recording on November the 10th, and the quote unquote silent period has ended for Major League Baseball free agency. So we're starting to see some signings. The Suarez deal was one of the first big ones to break today. So certainly the news cycle is going to keep pumping. We're going to keep us busy. But Joe, so if you don't mind, I know a lot of our listeners are familiar with Jared Perkins. He's been on the show before of Prospects Live, puts out really good content for the channel, if I do say so myself.
Oh, yeah.
But Joe, what is your job over there at Prospects Live?
So I would say my job would be to just direct the content flow for any and all MLB draft content that you see at Prospects Live. I'm in charge of publishing, you know, the boards that we push out on a, you know, 6 week basis. I have a hand in sending our different talent evaluators out all over the country to get film and assign them writing responsibilities and everything. So I guess anything that you would find at Prospects Live under the MLB draft bubble kind of goes through me in one way or another. But honestly, the guys that are out in the field catching all this talent, they're the real stars of the show, to be honest with you.
Well, I was going to bring that up. When I initially reached out to you, I said that I wanted to talk about your quote unquote journey on becoming a scout. And you very graciously but quickly let me know, hey, I don't call myself a scout, more of a talent evaluator. So I definitely, like, is this more of a passion project? Do you feel like you have an eye for this?
Yeah, you know, I don't even really know how it evolved. I'm definitely quick to call myself not a scout. I don't carry that label, but I do take a lot of pride in the evaluating of talent, whether that be, you know, butts in seats, capturing video, whether that be evaluating film, evaluating TrackMan and Rapsodo data, or, you know, biomechanical. It doesn't really matter. I've just fallen in love with the different wrinkles and different corners of evaluating prospects and talent all the way up from the amateur to the pro side. So, I mean, long story short, one thing led to another, and now I'm at least semi-fluent. I'm a bit of a hack in every little bit of way through talent. So, yeah.
Hey, you know what? You got to do what you can do and just put your opinion out there, right?
Yeah, I mean, what's baseball and what's prospect evaluation if you're not going to develop your own opinions? I think as long as you can have a conversation and support your own opinions in this industry, nobody's got any wrong answers.
That is very true. And I would, so later on, Joe, I would like to talk to you about more of the analytics side of the house over the eye test. The Royals' new manager did talk about analytics kind of being the guardrails for a baseball team overall. So I would love to get your opinion on that. But Joe, we do have to pay the bills and actually inform our listeners about the Kansas City Royals. So Joe, I am curious, in the past few years, has there been any Royals draft prospect that has really leapt out to you?
You know, the Ben Kuderna and a pick in 2021 was one that I loved. Ben Kuderna in 2021 at Blue Valley, he was a kid that was purely the eye test. I mean, 6'3", 180 pounds, long limbs, super loose and athletic, extremely fast arm. Real feel for landing three pitches in the strike zone in high school. But he in terms of like the analytics, like it was a bit of a dead zone fastball, and none of his pitches necessarily projected to be plus, but you watch the kid and you just, I mean, it just oozed potential. So I think we had Ben Kuderna, like, I don't even have my board up from 2021, but I think we had him in the 30 to 35 range or 28 to 35 range when he got drafted. And so getting him at, you know, the beginning of the second round, I thought was a great value for the Royals. And then, you know, I look back at like this past year, and I've always had an affinity for Jack Pineda at Baylor. You got him in the 12th round, super, super bouncy kid. He can play every infield position, really twitchy. I don't think he's ever going to be a star, but you know, I look at the Seattle Mariners, and they got that Sam Haggerty that can play left field, right field, second base, shortstop, third base, steal your bases. Like, he can do a little bit of everything, but he's not going to impact the game at the plate. Like, I think that's what Jack Pineda could be. I think he could kind of contribute a little bit everywhere without ever being a star. And I think that's kind of how championship rosters are built.
That is true. And definitely the 2014 and 2015 Kansas City Royals rosters did have a lot of guys that would fit that bouncy role. I will say, first time when I saw Jack Pineda, he did remind me a little bit of the, I forget what they were called, but they were bouncy balls that essentially had bumps all over them. So they would kind of bounce everywhere. You know what I'm talking about, Joe?
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. Those things were, my parents hated those things. Menace balls is what they called them.
Oh, there you go. I love that. That's a good name for him. But yeah, he just goes everywhere, and he does so with a purpose. So I haven't watched a whole lot of film from what he's done for the Royals organization so far, but that is certainly a good winter project for me. Now, Joe, some of the Royals listeners are going to wonder about a certain Carter Jensen. He is a catcher who just won some all-star recognition, not won all-star recognition, but received some all-star recognition at his level. Now, I do have to say there were some questions, some concerns about his overall projection coming out of the MLB draft. Do you have any opinion on what you've seen from him when you were doing evaluation?
Yeah, I mean, we interviewed Carter. He was one of the first guys that we interviewed in 2021, and you watch him play, and it's, you know, he's kind of that prototype. He's kind of that prototype backstop that's a high schooler. Like, he's going to give you power. He's going to have the strong arm, but more so even than that, like when we spoke to him, and we've done 190 of these interviews, so like some guys really stick out. Carter really stood out for just how gritty he was. Like, Carter Jensen was such a baseball lifer. Like, all he cared about was baseball, and you know, committed to LSU. You talk to him and you're like, ah, this guy, you know, he could have a big career in the SEC, and you know, he could turn himself into a masher and maybe go in the first round. But talking to him, you're just like, this guy just wants to get into pro ball right now and make his presence known. So anytime you can draft a, you know, a big barrel-chested left-handed hitting backstop that has a shot at, you know, staying behind the plate as a pro, I'm always going to sign up for it. I think the power is very, very real to all fields too. Like, this kid can definitely hit it over the left field fence. I think you got to be excited about it. And I think even the most important thing about Carter is he's really held his own behind the plate. He's kept his physique, and I think he's going to be able to stay at catcher, which, that's the biggest thing with these high school catchers, is you never really know if they're going to catch. So I'm excited to see that Carter's been able to stay trim and stick back there.
Heck yeah. Things are certainly looking up for Carter Jensen. And I have nothing but great things to say about the guy. I mean, we interviewed him last December, and just, I hate to say it like this, especially after the Dayton Moore era has ended in Kansas City. He's just a high character guy. Like he is a good guy.
You know, and the thing, I don't know, this is kind of out of left field, I guess, but Carter, so when we spoke to him, you know, 17, 18 year old kid and super exuberant, you know, confident, but still kind of like, you can tell he's kind of like a gentle giant. Like, it stunned me to see Carter like just inking himself up like tats left and right. And it's always interesting to see what these guys do when they go into pro ball. So that not something I expected, but he wears it well.
That he does. And look, if you want some good entertainment, go follow him and Ben Kuderna on Instagram. They'll come across my feed every now and then, and it's always gold. I'll admit to that.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Carter's not one to shy away from the spotlight. And, I did not see that coming in high school. So cool story.
I didn't either, but I'm all here for it. I'm ready to watch the ride. So Joe, getting back to some of the other side of the house, thank you again for your insight on these young Royals prospects that we're all really, intently and keenly watching. But you're talking about some of the other metrics that you use. What were those called again? The Rapsodo, and what was the other one?
I mean, there's TrackMan. Everyone knows TrackMan. There's Rapsodo, which is just another data collection tool. There's a million different tools that measure different things. But yeah, I think most of our work is done in TrackMan.
Okay. So when you are evaluating a player, how are you trying to take those analytics and apply them to the eye test? Like, is it one or the other, or is it kind of marrying the two to make your final opinion?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And it's a portion of the industry right now that I think is really, I guess divisive maybe isn't the right word, but the way I use it is, I think guardrails is a great way of saying it. I use it either at the beginning or at the end of an evaluation. So if I've got the eye test done, if I've you know, watched a guy on film, if I've watched him in person and I've taken my notes, then I can go to the data and see whether or not it supports what my eyes tell me. And that can either affirm or raise questions about what I saw. And the other side of that is, if you haven't had a chance to see a guy, or you're trying to uncover new guys that, you know, maybe aren't in the public space yet, you can go and look at this data and find kind of unicorn guys that have really unique traits. And then you can go to the film and see whether or not it's actually applicable on the baseball field. Now, at the end of the day, and I think this is where kind of evaluation gets lost a little bit in the modern era, I guess in the last few years, I think there's a lot of people that are trying to grade out players in terms of like what they're capable of, just like strictly off of a spreadsheet, like strictly off of the way that they can manipulate the shape of a pitch or what they can do to a baseball in terms of exit velo. Whatever those numbers tell you, they still need to be able to be applied on the field. Like, there are guys that are going to have really crazy, insane data, but they like here's a perfect example that really applies to Royals fans. Eric Sarantola, okay? Fifth round draft pick out of I think Mississippi State in 2021. This guy had, you know, a 6'5", 230 pound body, good athlete on the mound, a little stiff, but he's quote unquote, he looks like what you want them to look like, right? The data, out of this world. The fastball hops really hard at the top of the zone. It's a big spin curveball. It's a cutter slider that just works with some tunnel off the fastball. And you look at all of that and you say, this is what a starting pitcher looks like. Well, none of the data is going to show you that this guy walks or walked like every other hitter, or he hit every other hitter that he faced. So the data is great. The metrics are great. The unique specs and traits about a player are great, but if it can't be applied on the field, it's kind of useless. So guardrails, great analogy. I think that's a great way of looking at it. I like to say, you know, use analytics at the beginning or the end of a talent evaluation, and you're going to find yourself somewhere in the middle.
Hey, I really appreciate that breakdown. And that's a good way to look at a beginning or the end. And I will, you know what, I'll be completely honest with you and the listeners. In the past, you know, when I'm swamped and I look at a list of, you know, let's say 50 prospects, I'm like, okay, well, I got to rank these guys out somehow. If I have to do that on a quick turn, I'm guilty of, okay, well, I'm just going to do the analytics or the metrics and just use that alone. And it did take me a while to really realize in the big picture, like, that's not fair to the readers, that's not fair to the players, and that's not fair to myself, because I'm not really learning anything about these players. I'm not watching any of their film or really evaluating who they are as a player. I'm just seeing, you know, where their release point is on their curveball versus their fastball and deciding how a guy is important by that. So
really quickly, another real world example, like Andrew Haney, who played for the Angels for a long time and played for the Dodgers for a long time. You look at his fastball and you look at his slider and you look at the metrics behind those pitches and you just say, this guy is a unicorn. Like, it's a super low release. The fastball explodes up at the top of the zone. The slider and changeup are legit. Like, everything I'm looking at here, he's a left-handed pitcher. Like, this is a number one, number two, number three starter if you look at the metrics. On the flip side of that, you look at a guy like Marco Gonzalez in Seattle. Terrible metrics. I mean, nothing comes and jumps off the page. Doesn't have even an above average pitch most years. It's just a bunch of, you know, usable offerings. I would argue that Marco Gonzalez has had more years as a number three or a number four starter at the big league level than Andrew Haney has, because being able to actually apply, being able to pitch, you know, being able to command the baseball, being able to sequence, that's a big part of the sport. And it's something that analytics can't necessarily show you. So I think, just to wrap this portion up, I know I can get long winded, but I think analytics can be an incredible tool in talent evaluation, and especially in player development when you're trying to unlock what a player could be capable of. But until that player can actually apply it on the field and command the baseball with enough authority to actually use what tools they have, you know, analytics can only get you so far.
There you go. Well, I think that's a great bow to put on that box. And I really appreciate you breaking it down, because that is a huge debate on whether, you know, especially during award season right now, you know, we just announced the Silver Sluggers, and folks are bringing up obscure numbers to state one case over another. Well, hey, you know, sometimes the eye test just doesn't lie.
And so, some guys just make it work better than others. Like, yeah. Alex Bregman is never going to look great on an analytics front, but he also hits 25 to 30 home runs every single year. So there's just different ways to, you know, eat a cake.
That is true. One bite at a time, man.
That's right.
One bite at a time. Well, hey, speaking of bites, this is a customary question we ask on the podcast. If you are going to a ball game, doesn't matter where, doesn't matter when, what is your concession go-to? Like, are you a hot dog guy? Are you a nachos guy? Are you peanuts guy? What you got?
You know, I this is going to be a hot take that might piss a lot of people off. I think hot dogs are like the most overrated food on earth. It's such a terrible meat, and it's just the condiments don't make it any better, and ketchup is no good. So I'm not really a hot dog guy unless I've, you know, put down a few IPAs, I guess, and it's late in the night. Usually at the ballpark, I'm kind of a pizza guy. You know, I'll grab a couple slices of pizza, have a couple of beers if I'm not working. And I can't go wrong with pizza.
Hey, there you go. That is certainly the first time I've heard that on the podcast. And yes, you will ruffle some feathers saying that hot dogs are overrated.
I'm a West Coaster. I'm up in Seattle. We don't do the glizzy up here. It's not our thing.
Hey, you know what? Fair enough, man. Fair enough. I know. So I'm out here in Virginia and they still pizza is big here. Hot dogs aren't as extravagant, I guess, as they are like out in the Midwest. Seafood at ballparks is huge out here.
Isn't really?
It? Yeah. I'm kind of surprised it's not up there in Seattle. Don't you?
Oh, it is. But I would just I guess I'm just not bold enough to have seafood at the ballpark. I can't imagine it's the best that the ocean has to offer. I don't know. I save the seafood for at home or at the restaurants.
You know what? I said it was big. I didn't say it was good. So that's you right. Know what? I stick to my bag of peanuts. I ain't gonna lie. I'm old school like that. But Joe, as we're kind of wrapping this episode up, I do want to give you a chance to talk about really what Prospects Live is, because I feel like it is a very underrated, just underrated overall from the website, from the articles, from the video platform. I think it's a great source of knowledge on all things in and out of the game. Could you give us your take on like why people should tune into Prospects Live?
Yeah, I think Prospects Live right now is a fantastic melting pot of baseball subject matters in terms of, you know, if you're looking for baseball card release information, we've got it. If you're looking for mental health surrounding baseball and how folks are dealing with it inside and outside of the industry, Jared, like you mentioned at the beginning of the show, does a fantastic, fantastic YouTube podcast series with guys that are transitioning out of the game and guys that are dealing with mental health in the game. That's an interesting piece of the industry that I don't think is talked about enough. In terms of the draft, like I think we've kind of built ourselves up to be one of the better draft resources out there. You know, we've got 7 or 8 quote unquote, you know, scouts, analysts that are spread out all over the Northeast and the East Coast, Florida and Texas. I'm up here in the Pacific Northwest. We got a guy in California, and you know, we're going out and we're capturing video and we're writing up our reports. And I think when you take that and you apply analytics to these amateur ball players, I think we have a unique take on how we evaluate talent and grade talent going into every draft. And because of that, I enjoy writing about it. So yeah, if you're just, you know, and we're free. That's another big thing is right now we're a free resource. It's not behind a paywall. We do have a Patreon if you want to support our process and our projects. But if you're just looking to learn about amateur baseball and the draft and, you know, maybe guys that are drafted like Jack Pineda in the 12th round, I would encourage you to snoop around our site a little bit.
Okay. Well, hey, that you put a nice little bow on that box too, man. You're 2 for 2 so far. I'm going to throw you a knuckleball real fast though.
Let's do it.
As a Seattle guy, what was your opinion on Carlos Santana?
Man, I love Santana. So Carlos, what a guy, what a nice guy, what a great clubhouse dude. What a wonky personality. I thought for a kid like Julio Rodriguez, who was getting exposed to the league for the first time, getting a, you know, 36, 37 year old Carlos Santana, who's been there and done that and been through the ringer. And, you know, their agent is the same agent. I just thought it was a good addition to the Seattle clubhouse, and couldn't speak high enough of Carlos Santana.
Well, there you go. Well, hey, I only ask because Royals fans kind of seemingly ran Carlos Santana out of the dugout and out of the clubhouse. So it's good to hear such a sparkling review of the veteran that we might be underappreciative of, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he also hit like 75 walk-off home runs for the Mariners this year when he came over. So
yeah, that's kind of hard.
Like, I've never liked a guy that hit 190 more than I enjoyed watching Carlos Santana. He had a flair for the dramatic.
That is the truth. He was certainly having fun in Seattle, and at the end of the day, that's all that matters.
There you go.
So, Joe, we're going to go ahead and get out of here, but I do want you to tell our listeners, where can folks find you on social media?
Yeah, so I'm actually only on Twitter, which is a bit of a it's a murky area of the sport right now. Yes. You can find me at Joe Doyle MILB, or you can find all of my work at Prospects Live.
There you go. I appreciate that. And just for our listeners, Joe did not buy his check mark. All right. He earned it. He established himself.
That's true. I am not a Twitter blue subscriber.
And hey, that actually makes a difference nowadays, man. So, Joe, we really do appreciate you coming on. It was a great time, man. But we are going to go ahead and get out of here. All right.
All right, man. Hey, it was a pleasure. I'm rooting for the Royals. I think you guys have drafted quite well over the last few years, and I think there's promising things ahead, no doubt.
Heck yeah, heck yeah. Well, we'll chat again closer to the MLB draft. I'm sure
you're
gonna be swamped, but would love to get your takes on more of these prospects. All right,
let's do it.
All right, man. And hey, for all of our listeners out there right now, just a reminder: you can find the Royals Rundown podcast on social media, only Twitter as well. At Royal Rundown Pod. Please also do check out all the work that Jordan Foote and the crew are doing at Inside the Royals. You can find them on social media at Inside Royals. And hey, we're always posting the Facebook groups, man. You can always find us there. But thank you for listening. And until next time, go